All right. First of all, thank you for allowing us some time to visit with you folks. I want to thank the math teachers on the math curriculum team for coming too, as well. Some of this information will be new. Some of it will hopefully be a review with the hopes that you will consider our proposal with the math book that was sent with the board agenda items. I thought before getting to the new information, just give you a quick background of where we started and how we got to this point. Over a year ago, we created a curriculum cycle. Before we started that, we gathered feedback from the staff on this textbook series that they were currently using, and this is all teachers, not just the math folks. And then, you know, what publisher, the name of the book, and then the copyright. And so we got that information from each team, whether it was math, science, or social studies. Math team here was the first team to go through this process. And we started last February, so a year ago this past February. We met approximately 10 times, primarily half days. We did use a full day in there as well, and we also used a day, a morning in August before teachers were on contract, obviously before the kids came. The intent during this process was really look at professional development. We wanted to look at the Idle Core. We wanted to look at strategies. We wanted to look at best mathematical practices. We wanted the day they came in August, the teachers, they looked at a lesson and did a lesson design. And we had conversations about acceleration at Carroll Middle School. And then that all led into looking at textbook series. We took a day, and that was in September. It was a full day. Got subs for the teachers. And we used a criteria. We looked at 5 to 6 textbooks, I believe. So we used a criteria, a selection tool, to look at the alignment with the series that we were looking at to pilot of those 5 or 6, see how aligned they were to the Iowa Core, and also to looking at the rigor, what they were asking of kids to do, and also to look at the mathematical practices within those series. And then we came down to 2 textbooks that we piloted, Big Ideas, and then there was a Glinko book as well. And the team came to a consensus that the Big Ideas would be the best fit for us and for the middle school. So on March 2nd, we met with a textbook rep, Guy Frappella, and he came out and visited with the team during a half-day PD and one of the Wednesday early outs, and we looked at the different avenues that we could take within looking at the acceleration, because the team, math team, felt that the acceleration piece was still very important, and we wanted to continue accelerating those kids at the middle school. So we had a variety of options, and I'm going to let Mr. Tegren talk a little bit about those options and which pathway we took. I will tell you the pathway we took is a very ambitious pathway, and this pathway can't be done or cannot be done if the teachers weren't committed to it. For example, through our conversations, we've just had a variety of conversations or ideas thrown out there about, you know, should some of, like for instance, some of the teachers here are within their schedule, they can give up a study hall to take on an additional math class. So it's allowed us to look at the resources of our folks and how we're using those resources. So we've come up with some really neat ideas on how we can try to meet all of the students' needs for this ambitious pathway, because we want to make sure that the kids that need the core at a certain pace, again, their needs met, but for those kids that can be advanced, getting those kids' needs met, and then those kids that are in between that, getting those kids' met or needs met. So I'm going to let Mr. Tegren share a little bit about the pathway that we selected.
Well, I notice I've had all the board members' kids at one time. I have them right now. And they were all blessing. And that, one of the things that we talked about are high expectations. We looked at all the books, and every student that comes in, we want to get as close to an IEP as we can. Now, realistically, in math and 7th grade, that's very difficult. So what we looked at is 3 tracks. We have a high, where we test people, and the top 10% we take. Now, that's not an exclusive thing, because in the past, we've allowed people that that may not are close or may not qualify, we've allowed them to come in. And that's a conversation we're always willing to have. If someone's willing to get there and get busy, work hard, we'll allow that. So no matter where you start, we want you to start where you start and then finish as high as you can. There's been like four or five children that I can say specifically that have been come up to me over the years and asked, can I get in this group? I explained to them it's very difficult. It's going to require a lot of work, and you know, I'm more than willing to let you try. They've always had good home support, good parents that have allowed that, and they've all been successful. I haven't had one that has come to me and asked that hasn't been made more than a year's growth. Okay, so that's our high track. Our middle track is, you know, we try to get those middlers, try to challenge them and get them as far as we can. And then what I call the reluctant math learners, which the ones that don't think they're good, but they just haven't figured out that they are pretty good at math yet. And that's our co-taught class, and we try to push them. So these three tracks are very important to be successful in math. We've been blessed in that we've had good parents that support us. Had Jerry been very supportive in allowing us to kind of spread it out in that so that we can have the advanced, the middle, and we can push those people as far as we can. It's not a perfect system by any means, because we get to the point where maturity-wise, students grow and grow, and then we have a little problem in eighth grade where, you know, some might need one more year of algebra, which is great, and some need to go up to geometry. And that's not a perfect system, and we need to be real flexible on that. But these textbooks give us the best option of where we can hit that core, we can move these advanced kids through quickly and efficiently, we can hit the middle kids, and then we still have the ability at some point where if we have a late maturer that comes in, says, hey, can I do this, we can fit them in. And if they get to the point where they're not being as successful as we'd like, we can adjust them either up or down. So I think, you know, the books are a tool. I think Mrs. Pudence's was, I think I have one of her textbooks when she was a seventh grader. I think the previous set we've had, I think it's the same set of textbooks. So we are in need of new textbooks. But anything you use to teach is just a tool, and you still have to teach. And we feel like these are the best books that fit the core, which is estate law. So.
In speaking to the year, I have to date you. I should tread lightly on this one. 1999 are when most of the textbooks. We do have a 2010 copyright runner on the building somewhere. I think this is called. We have that one, yes. But otherwise, it's 1999. Through this work, too, I did ask, I did give those green textbooks. Those are six, the green ones, the seventh. Mr. Jorgensen has, and then the blue ones we have here as well. I did ask a couple fifth grade teachers to get responses from them on what their thoughts were. It's just very, you know, not too specific, but just what are some things that you see that jump out. I really asked them what does the book ask the kids to do? And if they see themes that are going with the Go Math series. Go Math has been around for about 3 years at the K-5, 3 or 4 years. Some of the feedback, they felt that it was rigorous at the beginning of the book, not so much a complete review in chapters 1 and 2. There was a lot of use of partner work within the sixth grade. One of the teachers mentioned a lot of practical story problems, real life type of situations. Felt like there was a generous amount of assessment practices, anywhere from everyday exercises, quizzes, chapter tests, and a cumulative test. I felt the strategies that were presented in that green book were pretty consistent with the Go Math series and does not seem to be a repeat of fifth grade, a complete repeat. I'm not saying some of the things aren't hit upon, but one of the things mentioned was felt like it was taking the baton from where they finished in fifth grade and moving the kids a little further in sixth grade, and most of the mostly new concepts are being taught in sixth grade. So a little bit of feedback. Thought it was important to be able to feedback from fifth grade teachers and on the Go Math to make sure it's not going to be a perfect mesh from the Go Math to this, but wanted to make sure we got some feedback from the fifth grade teachers. The math quote that was in the board agenda, just a few things. The student resources, we have online access for 7 years, and then there's the soft cover consumables, that would be the record and practice journals. And again, that's for 7 years. Teacher resources includes all of the teacher materials and 7-year online access. So we have the digital and the print at our disposal. There's no recurring cost. The only cost that we can foresee is if we need more textbooks. And that's be a good problem. That means our enrollment jumped up. And I will say that we did take, when we purchased the number, trying to figure out how many books we should get, we did take into consideration some of the bubble classes that we have at Fairview. First, second, third, and fourth. Like the fourth is around 150 kids. So we tried to take into consideration that. So we did order more textbooks to prepare for those numbers. So then we weren't going to be short books. There's no manipulatives with this. There is a virtual manipulative access online, but no anything tangible, I guess. We do have a free 2-hour, you spend this kind of money, I guess you get some free stuff, and we got a 2-hour PD, a webinar, and then there's also a full-day PD as well, and that should be, I think, on the back page, and that's felt like that was important as a professional development to go with this. So in summary, this work, the teachers would probably agree with this, wasn't easy. It was a time-consuming process. I hope we're further ahead than we were maybe over a year ago, but with the hope is that we have some materials that are a little bit more current, up-to-date, might save them a little bit time. They probably won't say that their first year, but maybe once we get things rolling, it hopefully saves them a little bit of time so they don't have to go looking for materials online. Everything. Hope it's going to be centered around the core. That was part of the work that we did when we did the curriculum investigations with that screening tool. And hopefully, we believe we have something in front of us that is going to be good for kids and making them better mathematicians. So I'm going to leave it to you guys to ask any questions of me or anybody on the math team, so feel free.
Did you look at GoMath, the 6-8? I know it's the same publisher, this one is, but did you look at the GoMath just so that it would continue our adoption from 5th on?
We, of the 5 or 6 we brought in, GoMath was one of them. And the teachers can speak specifically to it as they went and dug through that with that screening tool, but it didn't make the cut. But we did look at it. Not saying it's a bad series, but just that it felt, based off that screening tool, that it was the direction we wanted to go, even though it's, and it's nothing to say about GoMath at the elementary, but for the 6-8, we didn't make the cut.
Did they say why they didn't like it? Or do you remember why?
Do you guys remember specifically?
It's more of a comparison where you put it in the order of our likes. He came in through the fourth.
It was
so it was look through. We had the criterion reference. We just made checks, and those are the we whittled it down to 2, and then we spent time on those 2.
And did you talk to the high school math teachers to see if they thought that this series would prepare the 8th graders going into high school or the 7th graders if they're advanced for those high school geometry and algebra courses?
Jen, the communication we had with the high school is we had a half-day PD with them on January 20th, one of those full-day PDs. We used half of it where we visited, this team visited with the math teacher, but Ashley went and visited with the math team. And we talked anywhere from the textbooks that we were getting to the acceleration process at the middle school and how we can make that better for them as well. I cannot say that one of them got the textbook to look at, but we did have some conversations and they were up to speed on that we're going through this process. But a textbook did not get in their hands to look through.
And are there tracks for every grade level then, those 3 tracks for every grade level starting at 6-3?
Yeah. And the high track that we're it's going to be a little bumpy adjusting the 6th graders that are on the 7th graders. I'm pretty confident that those students will step up because they're good students. They work hard. I look at it, and won't be seamless, but I think it's very doable. And then we're gonna, I think at the end of their seventh grade year, I think we need to look at and just have a conversation with each student and see where they best fit, whether they do another. One thing that we really want to focus on is they're not going to repeat. We're going to do an extension of algebra because all the high school teachers agreed you can never have too much algebra going in before you geometry. We're more worried about trying to push them into geometry too early, because if we go to, you know, have an algebra 2 class or 2.5 or 3, whatever you want to call it, that would better prepare them for geometry. You know, like, you know, 3 of my kids have gone through this process, and it's, again, it's not perfect, but, you know, if you're just trying to be valedictorian, it's best to avoid that tract, because that 8th grade class counts as your high school transcript, and a lot of people have been knocked out of valedictorian, being in for valedictorian because they started early. I wouldn't change the way my children did it. I'd go that same track. So.
And to piggyback off that, there's 2 tracks in 6th grade. There's 3 in 7th. Typically, there's usually just 2. That's where the ambitious part comes in. But when we talked about scheduling and how to assign teachers, should they have math teachers, have a study hall, we think we can do it. It might cause some hiccups down the road, but we're going to get, you know, what we're proposing, and then there's 2 tracks, minus the geometry, but 2 tracks. In.
Because there's 3 tracks in 7th grade, because the 6th graders will be with you, Todd, right? The high track?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and what we've done in the past is we have taken 6th graders and kind of mixed them with some of the higher 7th graders that aren't in the other track, and that works okay. It would probably be better just if we go 6, and then we take... I teach the 6th grade, and then they go there to 8th grade. So staying out, and it'll be a small class, which is always advantageous to these kids. And then that algebra 2 class, or whatever you want to call it, that where the ones we had the option of going to geometry or going to that other algebra, it's probably, you know, smaller class, and that's okay too, you know. And we're both willing to lose a study hall because we think that it's that important. So, not that study hall isn't great.
Twist your arm.
Way to sell it.
Maybe we should have started with that.
Have you had any discussions with them about the professional development, what that looks like? How you can time that out? When is it at your convenience? When you want to schedule that?
Yeah, that's a good question. What we're trying to do is this: we're trying to Webster City, Eagle Grove. Somebody did this over by the Fort Dodge area. They got the Big Ideas book.
Webster City,
where we can bring somebody in on an evening and do a math parent night, and then keep that person for the full day PD the next day, and it would be. I don't know if I can say nothing's free, but so that's what we're trying to do.
At nearly 55,000, you're right, nothing's free.
You don't have to remind me. But yeah, that's what we're looking at. Math parent night with that consultant coming out and then piggybacking and doing a full day PD. So that's, because I think at some point, you know, we've done this before, that I think that math parent night, I don't know what kind of night, what kind of turnout, it'd be nice if we can piggyback it on an open house, but I don't know if that might be complicated. But so then we can get maybe a good chunk of the parents there. They don't have to come out 2 nights, open house night and the math parent night. But we've had some discussions on that, so we'll see where that goes. But that's always tough. At our convenience or the consultants, you know.
Because in my experience, they're very good at selling textbooks.
Exactly.
Some companies are good at following up with professional development, some are not.
And I think that math
parent... And I think that plays a lot into it, is how they're... Accessibility, even if they're accessible via email when you have a question. You know, are they going to follow up and give you that support that's needed? Or are they going to sell you the textbook, they're going to come out for a day, and then hasta la vista, we'll see you later.
And it's interesting you say that, because when we did they came out this fall, the guy from Pella, the rep, and he brought a consultant with him. The other textbook company never did bring, or did bring a consultant for the Blanco? I think it was just him, just a rep. So I think there's a little bit of difference on that when it's the rep and the consultant coming out.
And you know best after dealing with them and going back and forth. I think that plays a lot into that support that you think you're going to get going forward.
Well, how did you find that the GoMath, that support was with the GoMath? Because it's the same publisher.
So well, they change salespeople right in the middle of it. So you end up, you have to start all over and do that. But I think once we did a year, we were okay. We were good to go on the other plan. So I feel like, and we had the CGI background, so we knew exactly the way we wanted to teach that. So
and do you see this as a band-aid to the problem or a fix to the problem? I know from speaking personally, having two kids, one that had GoMath implemented in fourth grade and enjoyed the challenge, but it was challenging to change, and having one now currently in fourth grade, I can see a difference in her and what she's able to do with those years of GoMath in her belt. And it was, you don't realize it until I was sitting down helping her the other day because she had missed a couple days of school. And, you know, both my husband and I looked at each other. We're like, wow, we haven't had to help her much with math, where Drew in fourth grade, we were working with him every night. Mm-hmm. So those kids have really, thrived and taken off with the challenge with that Go Math series. Do you see this series doing the same thing and being a fix, too? Because there's obviously a problem with the old curriculum adoption that needs to be renewed. Do you see this being a fix to that? Like Todd says, it's just one of the tools that you use to teach, but do you see this being a long-term fix to that issue instead of a short-term solution? Mm-hmm. The cost of these adoptions are huge. I mean, we spent, $500,000 on GoMath, and it was well worth it, I would say.
It was worth it.
Yeah. Gary and Rob, I know you say, but I
keep telling
you. Several thoughts with that. One is, to put a band-aid, and I don't want to, this is to better ourselves with this this proposal to improve ourselves as educators, to provide, I think, with the professional development that's gone through this, we put a lot of time into it. And as I said before, I think at the December board meeting, when we do these these curriculum meetings, it's not, all right, let's just start looking at resources that we can spend money on. It's really the people behind it. And I would say it was a very time-intensive process. So, I think there's some good learning, and the teachers can speak more specifically to that. But you know, a band-aid. When you spend this kind of money and the time that we put into it, I hope it's a long-term solution. I mean, based off current, you know, you maybe be using these textbooks for 12, 13, 14 years. You don't know.
And that kind of leads to my next question. When you say it's 7 years. You know, the consumables and the online access is 7 years. What do they do year eight?
Well, then there'd be a price to go with it. Right now, there's no recurring cost.
Do they give you any kind of idea of what their projection is? And and knowing things change, do they say what a projection is going forward a year? Do they see people doing it year by year? Do they say, well, other districts are foreseeing doing five more years or...
You know, and I think that's where we are with the curriculum process. Most school districts put a curriculum cycle together for either 5 or 7 years. Mm-hmm. So that would be a conversation we would have as a building and at the district level, because obviously funds are always, top of the priority, whether there's funds to go with that. So, you know, I would say we're at a 7-year curriculum cycle. So in the next 6-7 years, we'll start reviewing this again. That's the plan anyway. And then having some conversations about, do we continue to go with it? And obviously there would be some cost. Or do we decide, is there something better out there? You know, in 7 years, a lot can happen between now and then with the new resources out there.
To address that question, yeah, it's going to line up a lot better with our curriculum right now that we have. Because right now it's a hodgepodge, because I'm using 2 or 3 different textbooks and also the IXLs to kind of hit everything that needs to be hit. And that's very difficult. And it is hit and miss. This is much more, seamless. You know, here we're addressing everything core. I had to adjust things, drop things out that I taught previous years because it's no longer in my curriculum. And so that's just a constant adjustment. But now, being the core is going to be law, you know, whether you like it or not, it's going to be law. And especially math, it's black or white. You know, this is what we got to do, and this is when we got to get done. So we need to have, you know, we need to have new textbooks in that. We're addressing it now. It could be better. So.
Do you think there's enough practice within these textbooks?
Yeah, the thing that drew me, because I'm big on, as you guys call me, I'm big on repetition, on practice and skills, and they got to work through it. And yeah, there's plenty of it. And that's where the IXL will supplement. And right now, IXL has to be used. I typically don't allow them to spend a lot of time on IXL in the classroom because that's my teaching time. But I do, there's certain parts of it that you just can't do it on the board well and efficiently. Like the geometry parts, it's tough to draw that on the board than having to do it. So with the IXL land, there'll be plenty of practice, and we won't have to supplement.
And all the math teachers are here, right?
They're all here.
Do you have a buy-in in it? Do you think that this is the best program for you guys that you would like to see?
I think the state assessments and how they're going to be changing, whether it will be smarter balanced or not, it has that whole conceptual turn to it, and it's really going to make you think differently and answer those questions that students are going to see on their assessments. Mm-hmm. It's really going to help out.
Right now, Iowa assessments are a little frustrating in that, you know, here we have our curriculum, we have our core, the state, and then there's things within our, that we're tested on that's not in the core, so we have to hit it, but then we also have to hit what we're doing, what we're supposed to be doing by law. So.
Any other questions from the board?
Put a lot of work into this.
Yeah, thank you. I know how much time it takes.
A lot of work. You look a little tired.
It'll be worth it, I promise. To see the growth from Go Math, it'll be worth it.
Yeah. Well, if the board is okay, it would ask for a motion. We want to move forward tonight.
Does this need to go through the SIT committee first? Mm-hmm. Are we skipping it?
Need to get it ordered.
I will.
They had it.
Go ahead.
Well, I shouldn't say that. No, go ahead.
I was just going to make a motion.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I will move that we accept the middle school proposal for the new math textbooks.
I'll second.
Brad?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Jennifer?
Yes.
Wayne?
Yes.
Gina?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you guys for coming in. Thank you.
Todd, I'll have to...